In England, there is a small town in the county of Suffolk named Rendlesham, a relatively small and sleepy town with a population of only around 3,000. In late December, the town would experience a set of unexplained UFO encounters that would earn it the nickname of Britain's Roswell.
305, we see strange strobe-like flashes to the rather sporadic, but there's definitely something, some kind of phenomena.
To this day, it is one of the most well-documented UFO sightings in history. The UFO events in question took place over not just hours, but actually 2 days in roughly the same area. The phenomenon was witnessed by United States Air Force personnel stationed on a military base just outside the main town.
305, at about 10 degrees horizon directly north, we've got two strange objects, half moon shape, dancing about with colored lights on them. That gets to be about 5 to 10 miles out, maybe less.
Multiple witnesses reported many occurrences that are associated with close encounters of UFOs. Things like bright lights, a strange craft not from this earth, and even missing time.
0315, now we've got an object about 10 degrees directly south, 10 degrees off the horizon. Oh, here he comes from the south. He's coming toward us now. Now we're observing what appears to be a beam coming down to the ground.
Was this simply a case of mistaken identity? Perhaps seasoned members of the U.S. Air Force made a misidentification of a nearby lighthouse, meteor, or brightly shining stars? Suffice to say, Team ATT is not convinced. Was there some sort of intelligence at work guiding these strange lights? And if so, what was their intention? Could they have been looking for something lost? Or perhaps they had an interest in the nearby military base at the height of the Cold War? Join us as we discuss the strange events surrounding what is now known as the Rendlesham Forest Incident.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 61. Rendlesham Forest Incident. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I was close. Dan. I almost made it.
Oh, you almost had it. Almost had it.
You know what is problem? You based this one not fucking up on my ability to read. And we all know how that goes.
Don't write anything down. Don't give him anything to read. No.
Whenever you put on that teleprompter, he will read.
Yeah. And incorrectly. And it's very slow and like ill-paced. This is a kind of a weird one for us. It's coffee and conspiracies. It is fucking early in the morning.
For you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've just reversed with Dan pretty much.
Yeah. Bizarro. This is Bizarro ATT. You guys, early morning for you, late night for me.
GTA. That's it. What?
Oh, I get it.
Guess I had a. You said,
Took me a second.
It's been a while since I've done with you, Dan. I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. You guys did the news feed? No, it's pretty good.
The news. Yeah.
I think people liked that.
Some people liked it. Some people said we didn't have obscure news. Obscure enough. Like we had praying mantis goggles, but we needed more of that, I guess. What else can you bring us?
Well, I don't know. I can. I can bring tons of those weird ones. Those are my favorite. So next time we're doing the news.
The news.
Just weird titles. No facts behind them. Just the weird headlines. That's what people like. So we got some more stuff coming down the pipe. Man, it's just such a busy time right now. That's the hard part. But we do have more content and more plans. I think in probably 3 weeks, things will settle down and we'll be able to start pumping stuff out more regularly.
Hell yeah.
Anyways, let's get into some space news.
All right.
Scientist just cloned some monkeys, and you could be next.
Damn.
Oh.
So basically, since the birth of whatever that, what the fuck's that sheep's name that they cloned?
Dolly. The name. Dolly.
Dolly. They've been using the same kind of technique to clone pretty much other animals, cats, whatever. Primates, though, for some reason, this process, it's like primates are like resistant to the way they do it, which was, I'm going to botch everything I wrote down here.
It's normal.
They used to, with Dolly, that sheep, they used a somatic cell nuclear transfer. And that involved replacing the nucleus in the donor egg with a nucleus taken from a cell from another animal. And then they, once it was fertilized, boom, cloned. But that didn't work for primates. So they've got a new technique. They had, I'll never be able to say the fucking these things' names. These two female monkeys they've cloned and birthed. I can say them easy. Zong Zong and Hua Hua.
Nice.
Identical. Well, I thought they were going to be like more yeah. Chinese names. Yeah. And then when I pulled it, I was like, oh, those are easy names. But I thought it was pretty interesting. That means saying we're getting close to doing humans.
Oh, yeah. We're not
that much closer.
We're not far. In our lifetime, they'll be fucking cloning some crazy shit.
Yeah, apparently, what is it? I think Barbara Streisand has been cloning her dog like three times.
I heard that.
Yeah, at least three times. Did you guys hear about that?
How insane is that? I was reading that a couple days ago. I was like, how the fuck? Like, this she's just like, she's playing God because she's got money. She's like, make another one. Make another dog.
Now is that dog?
He's not quite how I remember.
Gonna say is that dog the same temperament when you clone him, or is it just like does it just look the same but it acts completely different?
Well, I feel like that's a whole science study on its own. Like, I feel like somebody should be observing that for science,
because that's a hard one, because it's hard because like a dog's a, you know what I mean, like it's a dog, so it's like if it was starting to be mean, you're like, is that because it's not the same dog, or is it just, you know, having a temperament change? That's why it's like, let's get into some humans. Let's see. But I'm telling you, as soon as we're cloning humans, this podcast is going to be Braden theorists theorizing. Just four Bradens.
Four Bradens.
You guys are out
all the time.
So
it's never going to get published. So
just letting you guys know, you've been warned now. So as soon as it's going to be just four of us unprepared, can't read, congested. that's what I had for. I thought it was a cool one.
That was
pretty sweet.
Pretty big news.
Pretty big.
What else do I have here? Kate, I was gonna, because I knew Dan was gonna be on this one. I didn't read this article, but I had it marked, and I was like, what the hell does this mean? And I was gonna ask Dan because I bet he knows. A Massachusetts company claims to be close to a solid state battery.
Solid state battery?
What's that mean?
Well, that would mean like, well, most batteries consist of at least like the ones that you put in, like the ones you put in like double A's, and those ones, like those are all chemical batteries. Like they all base they produce electricity by like a chemical reaction, like you run a charge through it
And the battery acid or whatever inside?
Yeah, that's what's inside it. There's like two different chemicals and they mix together and then they make energy. Those are chemical batteries. Same thing with kind of like, I assume lithium ion batteries, those ones. I don't know exactly how they work, but a solid state battery would be super cool, I suppose. I don't know. I suppose the advantages, I don't know the exact advantages would be over. I guess it could be smaller, that you wouldn't need like two of them, things like that, but...
Oh, you know what? You know what's a huge positive? If I left them in the remote for a long time, they wouldn't like corrode and then like fucking get that white shit everywhere.
You wouldn't have to put your batteries in the freezer so they last longer. Does anybody else do that? Is that a thing?
If you do that, put them in your freezer.
Yeah, you put the batteries in the freezer and they last longer. I think. I'm pretty sure.
I use so few batteries. I use so few batteries and things that, like, I don't even, I can't even tell you. My remote control, I think, is the only thing that uses batteries that I own. I can't think of anything else that I put batteries into.
Yeah, I wouldn't know exactly how a solid state battery would play out. I mean, if it's an advanced one, I'm sure it's like better. And
I just pull it up. What a quick one on Google here. A solid state battery is a battery technology that uses both solid electrodes and solid electrolytes instead of liquid. And it's supposed to be a replacement for the near full potential lithium ion battery.
You're telling me they're going to power this shit by with Gatorade?
Yeah.
Solid Gatorade.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
I was just like, I don't really know what this means. I was like, aren't batteries solid already? But I guess it makes sense they're talking about the inside. That was like, that was drunk me reading that. Like, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have these downstairs. They're solid.
This is fucking nothing new.
This makes more sense now.
Tapping them on the desk.
Oh yeah, solid state. Amazon. This is not so much space news. Is like. Fuck, the future's here. Amazon's has retail stores that have no checkout lanes, no convenient, like, it's no checkout lines. You just walk up and like your accounts are.
Oh,
you simply pick what you want. Little machine, little robot gives it to you.
Scan your phone code and pay your account, whatever. And off you go.
Like, future's now, man. Jobs.
I want the drones. I do not want to have to walk in the store. You know, I want the least amount of human interaction as possible. I don't want to have to go to the mall and see people that I don't want to see. I want to be able to sit in my house and get a little drone that brings me my stuff.
Just drops it in your backyard. Drops it down the chimney. Oh, we can all have Amazon chutes. That's where Santa comes down.
No, well, no, because what is it? Amazon, they just, I'm pretty sure they acquired the people who make smart doorbells. And I think that's the next step, is that they're having like, I think they proposed like an idea for having, like, basically giving Amazon employees the Amazon delivery people, they would give them access to your house. So like they would scan a code into your smart doorbell, and then they would be able to like just walk in your house, drop your stuff off or set it up or whatever it is, like, you know, and then like walk out, and that was it. I was like, that's kind of cool. I was like, that's kind of neat, but weird, but you know, just the next step.
I'm trying to think if I have anything else here that I really like. No, I'll say some of these are, there's one funny one, but I'll save that for the next news read, because people like wacky
shit,
wacky headlines.
News.
Anyone else got any space news?
No, nothing good.
I can plug into the random outron too, if we want here. Do a UFO case for the week.
Let's do one.
What up?
Why not?
Okay. Plug it up.
And it up. I'm going to turn it on right now.
And stop.
Okay. Listen to that baby purr. Okay, here we go.
Still got that new random
I always, it always picks these ones that are so hard to read with all these weird names. Okay. ISLA, is that ILA?
Isla
de Lobos, Uruguay. On the 28th of October, 1972, the garrison of a remote lighthouse on the Atlantic coast of Uruguay, Isla de Lobos,
there you go,
witnessed the arrival of UFO entities. Just after 10 in the evening, one of the garrison, Corporal Fuentes, left his four companions to inspect the generator at the base of the lighthouse, some 150 feet from the garrison headquarters. Oh, thanks. Fuentes noticed something parked next to the lighthouse on top of a terrace. He returned to the garrison headquarters, collected his gun, and made his way towards it. Next to the object, Fuentes saw three humanoid figures who apparently saw him. He raised his gun, but was somehow prevented by the entities from shooting at them. a simple man, he was never able to explain what it was that prevented him doing so, but described the effects as like a vibration. The entities boarded the UFO and took off. Although Fuentes was the only witness to the event, the other four members of the garrison were witness to his state of mind and were impressed by the agitation that he suffered, not typical of a man of his kind. Psychological testing indicated that Fuentes was an uncomplicated person, not prone to flights of imagination or fantasy, with a tendency to react aggressively, which very much bears out his initial reaction to the UFO. Yeah. He saw some shit. He's a simple Jack.
He's a simple man.
And he saw some shit. They flew away. I like the vibration to stop him.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's down in South America, and there's definitely a lot of cases down there. I mean, I still think we got to do the one about Cobrares. There's a good one about that, about Cobrares, Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
There's a really good case file. We'll probably have to bring that up later. That one's pretty neat, though. Like, you were just stopped, so he just saw these three entities and just...
Yeah, and he raised his gun, and then he just... Because he's Simple Jack, he can't describe, but he said he felt vibrations that it just made him stop and he wasn't able to shoot.
Interesting.
Do anything.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you gotta take that. Could have been anything from just like telekinetic abilities. Could have been anything. Force fields. I don't know.
Never know. We'll have to get him on the show.
Yep.
But he's a simple, probably can't figure out a computer.
No. Yeah, he is. We'll write him a letter. Sweet. All right. On to Rendlesham Forest. Britain's Roswell, as it's called. Their most famous UFO incident. Dan, you want to give us a quick summary of it?
Yeah, I'll break it down. So
Rendlesham.
Around 3 a.m. on December 26, 1980, a security patrol consisting of one John Burroughs and Jim Peniston were near the east gate of the Royal Air Force Base in Woodbridge. Reported seeing a bright light that descended into a nearby Rendlesham Forest. Upon arrival, the two servicemen reported that an object emanating bright colored light seemed to move through the trees. Peniston later reported that he got close enough to actually see strange hieroglyphic symbols on the hull of this craft, which they had gotten close enough to see when they got through the forest close enough, and he said that he even touched it. After some time, they said the craft rose slowly above the trees and then accelerated away at high speed. This one's a little bit strange because it's not just one thing. It's not just these two guys saw it. Then even two nights later, a different set of military personnel had a similar encounter with different lights. And this time when the lights were spotted, this time by Lieutenant Colonel Charles Hult, they said that they saw another craft which had actually not just going through the forest or seeming to move at low altitude, but moved over the forest near where the original craft had been two nights before, and as actually beaming down shafts of light onto different spots in the forest. And even they reported towards a sensitive area of the actual military base itself. So this thing was moved. It was tracked on radar. It's one of the most well-documented cases of a UFO encounter in the world. Actually, I think so. And they call it Britain's Roswell. It's the most well-known and well-documented UFO case in the UK, at least.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that goes along with this one. Like you have Peniston when he touches the craft. So let's go back to the start a little bit and let's kind of walk through what they did, I guess. So after they seen the craft, Peniston and Burroughs went to investigate. And I guess when they got to where the light was that was on the forest floor or whatever, it was, they had this weird, like, stat, they claim a weird static, like, charge in the air. And then Burroughs claims he doesn't remember any of the incident. He was, like, enveloped in some weird light, and he claims he doesn't remember anything of the incident. But then when Pennington touched the craft and he seen, like, there was, like, some weird hieroglyphs, he likened them to Egyptian, but he was not a Egyptologist, so who really knows what they were exactly. But when he touched the craft, he claims that he had, like, a series of ones and zeros embedded into his brain. And then they didn't leave his brain until he wrote them out on his little, like, notepad the following day or whatever.
Yeah, they definitely have evidence, or they had reports that these two guys have missing time, where they said that about, there was about, like, 40 minutes where they're, when they were actually reporting back to the base, they said that their comms went dark for about 40 minutes. So these guys lost about 40 minutes. So there is missing time. Whether they had actually been abducted or anything like that, it's still kind of up for things. It could have been during that time that he touched the craft, and at least one of them didn't remember what happened.
It's, yeah, to me, it's like, I wouldn't even touch it. I don't know what would compel you to be like, oh, ooh, man,
shiny.
I got to touch this thing. I'd be like hiding in the bushes, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these guys are.
Maybe they were drawn to it. Maybe they didn't have a choice. Maybe they had to do it. Maybe.
They were, yeah, something was wanting them to get a message.
Yeah. Well, let's go with the message. So then, there's more to the story, but we'll just start right here with these full report of his binary codes. What did I do? What did I do with them? Oh, here they are. So, in deciphered, like, I guess they translated the binary code into English, and it says exploration of humanity 666 space 8100, and there's a coordinate. This one doesn't work on Google Maps, so it might be incorrect. But continuous for planetary advance, but doesn't finish, and then three question marks. Fourth coordinate continuate UQS CBPR. Before, and then it gives a six coordinates, and if you click on them, I'll post this link on our website. There, the first one is right on the border of Belize and Guatemala. There's one in Arizona. There's one, yeah, Red Rock State Park, Arizona. Giza, the Great Plateau of Giza. That's pretty fucking crazy. Oh, this isn't. Oh, is this fucking Nazca? Yeah, Nazca lines.
Okay, like right there. So you got the pyramids and the Nazca lines, and I'm like, how well would these things be? Like, I only know the Nazca lines because of internet research, right? Like research and then watching like conspiracy shows. How well are people going to know about that in the 80s? Like, it's not like they had the internet, whatever. Like, maybe there's some weird documentary or something. About the Nazca lines?
Yeah, they definitely.
I mean, they definitely knew about them by the 80s. You had
I know people knew about them, but I'm just saying that information probably wasn't as widely accessible as it is now.
Yeah, it would be an all encyclopedia, so you'd have to go looking for that kind of shit.
Yeah, especially if you had like the exact the coordinates to it. I mean, you probably knew about them. But how would you like? Oh, I'm gonna know the coordinates for the Nazca lines. And GPS, and you know exactly where it is. That's a little bit difficult. I wouldn't know that. I don't even know where you would. I mean, besides Google Maps, I'm like, how would you even know those coordinates? Even if you looked it up in an encyclopedia, that wouldn't give you the exact coordinates.
No,
I guess you could look on a map and.
Yeah, these coordinates are like 37.110195, like pretty accurate
down to the. And then not only that, you would have to look those up. And then figure out what those would be in binary.
Yeah. So, like, this one's been debunked, they say, because he didn't translate them right away. So he's claiming that this is part of, like, a message. Like, he's trying to get a little publicity by making this up. That's what people say. But I don't know. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So they touched the craft, missing time, like a pretty awesome UFO encounter. But then this is kind of where the conspiracy one starts, because Charles Holt, as you said, I think it was actually the next day. Charles Hart, he arrives on site and he hears about this, right? So that night they take another team out to go looking for him, including Burroughs. And so, yeah, when they see the craft again the next night, they claim, and the thing with this story is, it's kind of like Roswell's, there's so many different versions of the story. But this version of the story I found is that when they seen this, it was like a red glowing light the next night when they went into the woods, because they went out with a Geiger counter, right? And they're counting like how radioactive the place was. And then they hear like kind of like a, what do you call it? There's a term for it, but I don't remember what it is. When animals, they just go really crazy really quick, and then they all go silent. It's this dead silence in the woods. And they see this.
Yeah, frenzy. I read about that a couple times. They had the animals going into a frenzy. They just kind of, these animals in the nearby farms around this area. Because this, if you look on a map, like between the Air Force Base and Rendlesham, there's like a bunch of farmland. Like this is, it's not like, there's one little city nearby with a lighthouse, and then there's pretty much all farmland all around. And the animals on the farms nearby were going nuts. Like they weren't, it's not, it was not normal behavior for these animals when this stuff was going on.
Yeah. And so like, I guess when they, this story claims that when they seen it, it was like a red light. And like, when it came closer, it looked like a human eye. This craft looked like a human eye. And this is when it shot the beam down at, this claims is shot the beam at Burroughs again. And when the people claim that Burroughs actually disappeared for a short period of time and then reappeared later. But I don't know. It's cool. So this one event, but over two nights. So they say it was the same event both nights.
And they, you can listen to the, they audio recorded them going out the second night.
Yeah. Charles.
Yeah. Halt has an actual, audio recording. He took a tape recorder with him and recorded it. And it's about like 18 minutes, recording of him talking into his tape recorder and actually seeing this strange light, and it records like their whole encounter with it. It's a lot of strange stuff.
So like when they walk out there, they're getting like radioactivity readings from the center of where the craft had landed, heat readings, like, and they're spooked. They're like, man, you can hear it in their voices. Like, this is weird. Like, this is so weird. And like right there, you're like, okay, well, obviously what's going on at this one specific type is not an everyday occurrence. Like they're not just picking up heat signatures on the way in when they walked there. It was when they got there, they pick up these readings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super weird.
Yeah. They went out there and I mean, they even said they took Geiger counter readings around the area that they had seen the craft land or been near the ground, and they were getting readings of abnormally high radiation signatures from that area. So it's not like there's no evidence that the thing wasn't there. I mean, there's even some photos, they have some photos that were published that show what looked like triangular indentations in the ground where something had landed, if it had landing gear. Like you can Google them, you can look them up, and it's like these small things. And they try to explain them away. Some people try to debunk it, saying that these things could have been by animals, maybe. But even if it were a deer or something, like it's not like
just a couple of rabbits tossing about. Nothing to see.
What's all this in?
Jolly good. That's ridiculous. I'm like, have you seen rat? Like, I am not an animal expert at all. I go into the woods and like where you think you see a craft, and like I'm not mistaken. I know what a rabbit digging looks like. I know what their little burrows look like. There's no way you're gonna mistake 100 of those for like, you're like, oh, look at all these rabbit burrows, but look at these three are landing pads. Like, I'm like, that's a pretty big mistake to make. That's why I'm like, there's no way these military people are like, well, you know what, I guess we don't know, maybe that's why they were stuck at the Air Force Base and not out deployed. Who knows? They're like, I can't imagine going up there and being like, after they said anything, someone else going up there and be like, oh, it's just a couple rabbits, no No worries.
Yeah, you couldn't. I mean, these are, even if you are like the dumbest guy, and you're not exactly, if you're a simple man, yeah. You see these lights, and you can't tell me that you could be like, these are, some people try to explain it away. I mean, some scientists have tried to explain it away, saying that it was bright starlight, or like a reflection from, there's a lighthouse near that area that was a couple miles away. That it's like, it was the lighthouse. And I'm like,
it's ridiculous. What?
Yeah.
If you like, that's the most, you're saying that three military guys were seeing the sky through the forest and they're like, what are those lights? Those twinkling lights. And someone's like, oh, those are stars. And they're like, oh, God. Gotta be aliens. Like, there's no way. That's the worst explanation. Oh, they're just seeing stars through the trees. No big deal. Yeah, right.
You can't tell me that trained military personnel like looked at this stuff and were not able to identify. I mean, they weren't able to identify it, but you can't say like, hey, this is really weird, guys. That's definitely not the lighthouse. It's definitely not a civilian aircraft. I don't know what it is. This stuff happened, and you know, and it's not like it was just those two guys that said something. You know, maybe they were tying one on or whatever, however they say it in British or whatever. You know, it's not like these guys were,
however they say it in British. You mean in English?
In English. That's Brit.
They speak British over there.
Speaking British.
Imagine going back. You like see this. You go back to your supervisor. Like, listen, like corporal or commander. I don't know how the rankings work over there. And
well,
you're like,
this is American Air Force Base. So.
They're lieutenants.
Lieutenant.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah. So you go there. You're like, listen, we saw a craft. Fucking Bob over here touched it. He's seeing ones and zeros. He's been writing all day like a fucking crazy person. We went back there tonight with our fucking gigameters or whatever they're called.
Gigameter.
We got heat signature. There's lights in the woods. Like, we're freaked out. We're getting all these weird signatures where it was. Shit's moving around in the woods. He got zapped. He disappeared for half an hour. And now he's back. He's like sitting there behind his desk, like taking it all in. He goes, you boys probably just saw the stars. Stars through the trees. That's all it was.
Or
like, what?
Or you got
this, not just,
or you got this guy Kevin Cond or Condi. Oh, he
love that
he
one.
Claims it wasn't a UFO. It was just my 79 Plymouth. He drove it out to the woods. He's a police officer and was pranking the guys. Like, I got him good. I got him good, you guys. My 79 Plymouth.
Yeah. Fucked him right up. I had that thing pinned. Like, bullshit. I used to have a car, and the second you took that thing off the road, it was like, fuck, banging around, clanging around. And a 79 Plymouth, dude, you'd be dusting that thing. Even on a field, you'd be bouncing around, making all sorts of noises. You tell me you rigged that with sirens, and you fool three adults, be like, what is that? Oh, God, it's an alien. Like, no, you weren't driving your Plymouth through the, that's not what they saw.
Yeah,
and this guy's like, got close enough to touch it. It's, you know,
could you imagine, like, you put some lights on your Plymouth and this idiot goes and he's like, look at this thing. Oh,
it's
God.
Amazing.
It's amazing. I got to touch
God
it.
God, blimey. It's an alien.
I love how we're all trying to do a British accent, but it's yours comes out as Australian.
It's so funny.
It's an alien.
It's an alien. I don't know how you fucking could possibly.
You got two idiots out in the woods rubbing a 79 Plymouth. He disappeared. He's like, I got in it. I was in the back seat.
From the town, like nearby, even reported like seeing this light. It wasn't like, you have people from the town reporting seeing not different things, but pretty much the same thing. I mean, they heard, I think some of them heard a loud booming sound.
Just
at least
a possibility. I've got on your point of a lot of people are calling it in. Here's a quick theory on why everyone's seen it. From what I've heard of England, it's fucking cloudy and rainy all the time. could this date be that actually the first date where the clouds cleared and people in England saw the stars for the first time?
They saw the sky for the first time.
Exactly. And everyone just fucking lost it. We're surrounded.
Yes, please. United Kingdom listeners, please call us back. And if December 26th was the first time that the UK saw the sky, please confirm that. That was the first time that British people saw the sky.
I'm like, yeah, people were calling. That's how I'm like, how do you explain? You're going to be like, yeah, I was at Plymouth. Bunch around. You're like, okay, well, what about the other people that called?
Yeah, and it's like the lights got up and took off. It's not like they like bounced away through the woods like a 79 Plymouth would do, like somehow bouncing through the woods or, you know, clanging off through the woods. I mean, these things took off, and like people are saying that they moved at least maybe like Mach 2 or 3. It looked like they were moving, the speed that they were moving away from the area.
You know what, though? I got to say something about on that frame of measurement. I have no frame of reference to be claiming things are going Mach 2 or Mach 3, or even to be able to, if something flew by me at Mach 2 and then something flew by me at Mach 3, I don't know if I could even tell you that those were two different Machs. To be honest, like if a dog runs by me real fast, I'm like, the thing was going like Mach 1. So I have no idea. So when people say that, like, how fast is Mach? What does Mach mean?
Mach one is beyond the speed of sound. The speed of sound is like 762 miles per hour, something like that. Like 762. I think it's somewhere in 700.
We got to change that. It's either that thing was flying, that thing was humming.
we need an exact a term for besides Mach. What's wrong with Mach?
It just doesn't make any sense, because then you're like, oh, it's beyond the speed of sound. But I'm like, well, it doesn't really sound like it has anything to do with sound other than it's a funny sound to say.
Yeah, but if you were in the Air Force, Mach would be a pretty normal term, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, I see what you mean. Like Mach 2 or Mach 3. It was going fucking fast, boys.
Well, it's like members of the public are calling in and they're being like, it's got to be going Mach 1. I'm like, how the fuck would you know the difference between that? Or even... how fast that's going. You know what I mean? Like that's such a bad thing to like, say if a car was zipping and you had to give a description, you're like Mach 1, it was going Mach 1. You're like, well, that's ridiculously fast. Like you don't even know how fast that is to say, like, what if it was only going 300 kilometers? Now you've greatly exaggerated how fast that thing was going. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. The fact that it's moving through, the fact that it's moving through the air in a, like, you go straight up and then take off in any direction. I mean, there are plenty of reports of UFOs. You know, stuff on Earth doesn't move like that. You know that any airplane, helicopter, whatever, does not move. Most people, even if they're simple people, you can see something and be like, that's moving way too fast in a direction that's. Sudden changes in direction, that's not normal. That is not how things move.
The only thing I know on Earth that would move like that is pulp, from what I hear.
What?
Pulp. What? Pulp can move, baby. Little Seinfeld joke for you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Didn't catch it. Bad.
Wish I had some Seinfeld fans. But hey, that would have killed when this podcast is for Braden's. Would have killed.
What a landing.
We would have all been in stitches still. the whole thing is crazy that you have other people calling it in. And like, you'd be like, yeah, I was a guy with a Plymouth, but like other people called it in.
Yeah. And this is 1980. This is the height of the Cold War. This base that they were at, in the Suffolk area here was, apparently it was actually a large, like, information kind of hub. It was host to a lot of sensitive information, things like that. I don't think it was a nuclear facility at the time. But it was actually a pretty important base in terms of, like strategic wise during the Cold War.
Dave, or Dan, when you say, it wasn't a nuclear facility at the time, is it one now?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's gonna be like, because we always talk about like.
I think it's still. I'm pretty sure it's an active base, but it's not. I'm pretty sure it's not. That's not where they keep like nuclear weapons or anywhere. That would be a really weird place to keep them in the middle of a bunch of farmland. And I mean, there's a lot of cases, UFO cases of UFOs landing around these areas, sensitive military installations during the Cold War. I mean, there's reason for them to kind of freak out. I mean, they could have thought it was a Russian aircraft or something like that.
But in the '80s, to be honest, like, you got to think people freak out because, you know, like, Britain's been pounded by, you know, planes and stuff in World War II and stuff. So they've seen shit from the skies. You know what I mean? Like, so something's weird. You got to think that people, like, there's still people that remember and are calling that shit in all the time.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not, I mean, anybody who saw this kind of thing is, it's not, they would be able to determine if it was a civilian aircraft or some sort of, you know, jet or something like that, but that it just went down, this ball of light. You know, and it wasn't like space junk or anything like that. It just came down, crashed, and you still had lights going on and this stuff going on. And the fact that it happened over, you know, a couple nights, it wasn't even just like that these, that this just happened one time and then it was done. And then these guys, it's everybody saw it and everybody saw these lights, beaming down. I mean, that would be super creepy. Just watching this thing move around, over the forest, just like beaming down light everywhere. Like I would have lost my shit if that were happening.
Yeah. That,
well, and then
I was just going to say that plays, if all these guys who claim it was a prank and shit, they did it both nights. Like, I never, you never read about that. They're like, yeah, I was just a Plymouth. both nights. Like, I got you twice, buddy. Got you twice.
It's like, fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. Like, there's no fucking way. He's like, I had so much fun bouncing my Plymouth in the fucking woods. I went not right away. I didn't want to make it too obvious. So I waited 2 days. I went and fucking rat bagged my car again in the woods. I would like to see. There's no way. I'm looking at pictures of the area. There is no way you're fucking bouncing a car. No, unbelievable. That, to me, that's unbelievable. To say that you would be bouncing a car around there, especially like a big old fucking boat car, like a 79 Plymouth. Just pull up a picture of a 79 Plymouth for a second here. They're enormous. They're a huge car. They're a boat.
Pulling it up.
Yeah. And then you could be driving them just like, you could just be driving these through the forest. I'm assuming it's dense forest and there's not just like, you don't take these things off-roading. Like,
like I said, I used to have, like an Oldsmobile, Oldsmobile Omega. Similar, it's like a boat. And that thing, every now and then, like, when I was in high school, we'd go to like whatever bush parties. And even to take that thing on a forestry road was painful, man. It was like bouncing around, bouncing off the road. Like, they're not made to be bouncing. And if you look at pictures, when I first thought of this in my head, I was picturing like fucking, you know, fields and that. And like, but when you look at the Google Maps, even in the aerial, like, and then look at fucking photos, it's a thick ass forest. There's no way you're bouncing a car through there.
He said that he just parked it up on a road behind the trees and just let the lights do the work. And that's,
that's even worse.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
he's just fucking lazy. These guys are seeing things move in the woods and he's like, well, really, I was just parked there having a dart. Hold him. Secondly, I'm pretty sure it's always illegal to drive around in a car rigged with lights. So I'd like to see how he kind of rigged up his car. Like, did he have it? I wonder if he had his lights on the top or did he have like one of those cool detective ones we just put on?
Not sure. Not sure, actually.
Yeah. It's actually pretty cool because they have a, it looks like they have a UFO trail there and they have a, like, what they think the craft looked like built there, which is kind of cool.
What they think the craft looked like?
Yeah, it's like parked in the spot. They have like looking at this thing, they have a monument. Yeah, like a monument there.
It's funny because
pretty cool.
You can go visit it. They've got a little trail there. I know that you can walk around. If you want to like visit the site of the area, but you can walk around through the forest. But even if you look at that forest, this is deep. Like this is British. This is some Lord of the Rings forest shit. It's not like you could drive a car through there or anything. Like
no way. And those things can't handle worse shit. You would have to fucking 1,000-point turn to get anywhere. You'd be doing an Austin Powers.
Yeah.
I got some cool quotes from I got James Peniston. He says, "What I once believed is no more, and what I've witnessed defies all that I have ever imagined. I am truly in awe over the whole incident, and no one can fully understand the magnitude of such an event unless you were there."
Huh. Yeah. Whoa. No kidding.
Yeah, people don't just like say that stuff. I mean,
dude, I couldn't. Okay, like right now, honest to God, we all love conspiracies. We all love UFOs. I could not talk any of you guys into going into like and doing a full media hoax with me. You know what I mean? One of you guys would be like, "This is a stupid idea." And now you're talking about military people, a group of them being like, "Yeah, we're going to go through with this. We're going to do all these false reports. We're going to go through the trouble of like." I'm sure the reports they had to write for this shit was insane. And then all the media attention, and you have to just keep it up.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Now that you mentioned the reports, I was listening to Nick Pope. Do you know Nick Pope? He's like, he was a head of the British UFO department for the military or the Air Force. I can't remember which one it was. But anyways, he's a full-on UFO researcher. And he's pretty much talked about before that, he's interviewed all the guys on that base from this time period, and pretty much they've all sworn that with the statement that they had to give was pretty much pre-written for them, and then they had to sign like non-disclosure agreements. So everyone signed, and no one talked except for those few guys that we've heard about, right? Everyone else who gave a report has still honored their non-disclosure.
Yeah,
except like Charles Halt, Paddington, or Burroughs. Like just these few guys.
What's Kate? I had a name written down, but I can't find anything about him anywhere. It says he's a witness to the event, and I wrote his name down because he's got the best name. But then, the only thing I can find for him is a quote where he said, "It didn't crash; it landed." And his name is Bud Steffens. Bud Steffens. I love it.
That's an awesome name.
I actually want to change his last name to Stuffins so that it can be Bud Stuffins. That's a best porn name. That's going to be my porn name if I ever get into porn. I guess it's like a good gay porn name, though. Bud Stuffins.
Oh, my God.
Bow, bitch, bow, bow, bow. Introducing Bud Stuffins.
Bud Stuffins.
sorry, Sergeant Bud Stuffins, at your service.
Get it right.
But yeah, I wrote down his name because he had being asked in an interview. They kept saying crash, and then he just goes, "It didn't crash, it landed." And it says, "Witness to the event, spotted strange lights on December 25th, 26th, 1980. So the first night, but I don't see anything about him in the, so I'm wondering if he's one of the people that has like a non-disclosure.
And he just did like a anonymous something.
As Bud Stuffins. That's his,
he was thinking the same thing as you.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's a good fucking name.
He's like, "I can't get my real name, but he's like, I got a great porn name. I'm going to give you Sergeant Bud Stuffins." But yeah,
I think this is just there's a lot of stuff that goes with this thing. There's even talk of at least one of the guys, his last name is Bastinza. I think this is really funny. Bastinza. Adrian Bastinza.
Right? Or Bustininza.
Or Bustininza. I'm sure that's what it was.
These guys gave porn names.
This one guy actually claimed that he witnessed one of the officers approach the craft. This is the second craft, in the event, or during the two or three days that they saw this. And he said that he actually saw this Wing Commander Gordon Williams encounter some type of extraterrestrial being wearing some sort of bright clothing and had some sort of device, and that they just kind of like stood there and stared at each other, and there was no communication or anything. They just kind of stood there for a second. And that's even really weird, which I would think he says that it could have been an extraterrestrial with bright clothing and some sort of device, but I think it's probably more likely it was people who were there like investigating they could have been wearing radiation suits, with Geiger counters or Giga counters, as Braden calls them. It's a good one. So some of this stuff, I think some of the stuff could have been misconstrued as that could happen. I mean, that's very likely that you had people there investigating radiation signatures or stuff like that. And some people are like, oh, they're meeting aliens there with these weird clothes on and stuff like that.
Yeah, I never read anything about any actual beings, but.
I think it's more likely that I know I've read a couple reports where it's that the first night was a crash. This UFO crashed there, and that they retrieved the craft, and they somehow retrieved the craft or parts of the craft, and they took them back to the base. And that the second craft, some people say that they theorize that was actually like a retrieval craft, like it was looking for the other one. And that's why you had these beams of light coming down. They were actually searching for the wreckage from that first crash.
Okay, they couldn't find it. So is the whole story a cover up then for actually them finding the UFO? And then this whole like, oh, we touched the craft and ones and zeros is all something different?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm saying that the second craft could have been something like, because they said that when they observed the craft, the second time, the second night, or the two nights after the first crash of what happened, that they had it moved over the area in a search pattern style. It was methodically. It wasn't like it was just going random places. It looked like it was actually searching like a search pattern, like you would for anything if you were looking for something. It was just going like bit by bit, searching for this thing, and even going towards the craft there. So it's either they got something, like we recovered something, and then they took it to that base, or carted it off somewhere else, and that craft was looking for it. But that's one theory, is that it was looking for it, and we got something from it. But other than that, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know where they would take it, whether they would take it back to that base, being so close, to keep it for a day or two until they shipped it off. I mean, I know there were United States Air Force officers at that facility at the time. There were a couple stationed there, I think that's usually the case with most, at least with like a NATO ally or something like that. You'd have a couple of United States Air Force guys on site. And some people even, I'm pretty sure a couple of people actually reported seeing like suits there, agents, like people who weren't exactly look like they were affiliated with the military, but they were there at the crash site, in that second, that first or second night. So I would think that that's the more likely story of what happened, is something crashed there. And then we got a piece of it, took it, they carted it up, took it off. And then that other one came looking for it. But as to whether we would communicate it with that craft or it just, it was like, oh, can't find it. I'm out of here.
So then so what about Pennington and, Burroughs? What did they encounter then? If that was the crashed craft?
No, I'm saying they found that crashed craft. And then because they said it took off, but I'm saying that either they think it took off. But that's the thing. I don't know.
If they don't really remember anything, then who knows? I guess.
Yeah.
Well, even Holt has gone on the record and said that he believes it was an extraterrestrial event and it 100% was covered up. And then, like, you get the base commander. I'm reading this part. The base commander was like, in 2010, years after he was there, he goes, this is great. He goes, we saw nothing. Pretty much, we saw nothing to what Holt's describing in the sky on the ground. He's like, we had people there to validate Holt's narrative. None of them could. He goes, Holt should be ashamed and embarrassed by his allegations that his country and Britain would both conspire to deceive their citizens. He knows better than that. He says Jim Penniston never once at the time mentioned any such occurrence or touching the craft. And he said this whole thing's probably a hoax. That's the base commander in 2010. In 1983, a report came out from that base that came out in the Freedom of Information Act from 1983. And it's the same colonel. And he's like, got a report. Two men see something like a small plane descending the forest. Two of the men tracked the object on foot, came upon a large tripod shaped craft, no windows, brilliant red and blue lights. Each time the men came within 50 yards of the ship, levitated 6 feet. They followed it for almost an hour. It took off at phenomenal speed. I investigated in the morning, located triangular pattern, looks to be made from tripod legs. And upon interviewing the men, those lads saw something. I don't know what it was. And then 2010, he's like, nope, no one saw nothing. No one claims anything. But like he had written a report earlier being like, totally contradicting. So it's like the 2010 one sounds like it's the 2010 one makes me think that the government has conspired to cover it up, because he's literally written that he's like did the investigation. He's just like, nope, doesn't, I don't believe it.
Never mind. But you wrote it right here. Nope. No, I didn't. No, your signature is right here. No, that's not my signature.
Incorrect.
Oh, that's a screenplay. That's a screenplay I've been working on. Softening it around.
Yeah, just wanted that. Wants to keep his pension is what he wants. It's like, oh. I'll burn you.
Can they take you? Can they take that away from you?
I would assume they could have something for that. Like, if it were that big, kind of big a deal, they could rip that right out from them. I'm sure.
Oh, they could do something like that.
So it's like we want you to say this, you know, so you keep getting that pension. If you want to keep that retirement, living that cushy retirement, better deny everything. It's not unusual. That's the thing, is they got that kind of control over something like that. But I would say you can't deny that there's something really weird happened.
Oh, 100%. And you take these guys at face value, and this guy did touch the craft, and it did have Egyptian looking glyphs on it. Man, that my mind jumps right to ancient Egypt, and how did it actually, like, this is ancient aliens pretty much right here. If aliens really did come to Earth and instill like language and culture into humanity, or like genetically manipulate us from some type of hominid, maybe it's just it's the same shit just going on. This craft just came down, checking it out. I don't know why it would just sit there, wait for him to touch it though. Like, I don't know what's going on with that. Because usually,
yeah, I mean, if it were that, I would say it'd have to be some sort of, I would think it would be some sort of unmanned craft. Like, it would have to be, if there was some sort of intelligence you know, biological intelligence controlling it. I mean, I'm sure they would have just taken off. Like, why would they just sit there and, you know, let these monkeys put their hands all over it? I don't know. Like, why would you do that? I would think it would just be some sort of unmanned craft that just kind of went down, like landed for a second and took back off, maybe. And then the one that came back the second time was looking for something, I assume. Like I said, this is the height of the Cold War. I mean, the UFOs had been kind of popping up everywhere, or at least more frequently at that time. And I mean, all the way up from maybe they were just seeing where we were at, and the fact that we were, like, you know, pretty close to blowing ourselves up at that point. Like, yeah. High of the Cold War, we were pretty on the, you know, on the precipice of nuclear war, and that would make a good time to check us out. But, you know, there had to have been something there for that they were looking for, because it sounds like they were specifically looking for something. Like, that could have been some sort of probe, and then the second one came by and was looking for something specific. Looking, you know, you're looking for, you send your little probe in, it lands, takes some readings, takes back off, and then brings back that stuff. So
it damaged the pine trees around when it took off. They have pictures of, from the 80s, of this tree with damaged limbs near the top of this tall tree.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's crazy. It's like, there's no way it could have been, because some people are like, oh, it could have been a civilian aircraft. I'm like, what civilian aircraft crashes through a bunch of trees, then takes off again? Because there's nothing that does that. Not a military, not a civilian aircraft, not a military aircraft. Nothing really does that. And with hardly making noise, with that much light, you can't tell me that something does that.
Oh, man. I'm looking at, because he had a duty notebook, and he did, which one of them did this? Peniston or Penis Ton. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's the first one.
Oh, they made the glyphs, what he saw, and they look cool. Like, I'm looking at a website right now. I'll send it to the conversation here, so you guys pull it up too. I would never describe them as, like ancient Egypt, but I get why someone would say that. But they are, like, they're very alien.
Oh, those are strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like pictographs. They're more pictures than they are like letters or something. That could have been, I mean, as far as you, I mean, those kind of look like, could be some sort of logo, could be just the, you know, the company that builds the craft, if it's some sort of intergalactic kind of thing. It could be the name of the craft or something like that. Should be kind of neat. But shoot, that'd be crazy.
Pretty cool,
dude. I'm looking at his notebook where he just does 16 pages of ones and zeros.
Yeah, it's weird, eh?
Like, that's a hard thing. Like, I'm like, okay, so that's such a big print. Like, say if this is a hoax, there's so much studying to do to get your message, look up the coordinates, figure out how to get everything into binary code, and then memorizing a binary code or figuring out somewhere else and then rewriting it again. And, like, this looks hastily written. Like, it doesn't look like it's not on the lines. It's all over the place.
Like, he just had to get it out.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. He like ripping some, then he underlines and quickly crosses some out. It looks like it's not on the lines. Some of it's going up and down. Like, no, it's interesting.
Now maybe this UFO.
If it's a hoax, it's a fucking damn good one. If it's a hoax,
oh, hell yeah, gotta be one of the best. If it got this many people convinced. Now what if these ones and zeros, like, say this was an alien drone ship, came down to deliver a message to whoever would touch it first, and these fucking coordinates are some type of puzzle or some type of key to something, because one of them's Giza, one of them's Nazca. I just checked the first one I said that didn't work. It's actually just off the coast of Ireland in the ocean. So I don't know what maybe these points are ley lines of the Earth. Like, we always talk about, like, the power grid of the Earth.
Yeah.
But I've never really looked much into it, but maybe I'm gonna check that out, because maybe these are some type of, like, power grid of the world.
Oh, they could be checking that. That is a That is a good theory.
And so it says year 8100. So it's a lot of people say this is like, a lot of people say that aliens are actually time traveling humans from the future. So maybe this is something to do with that. Because in this ones and zeros, it deciphers to origin year 8100.
But I'd be nuts. 8100 is.
That's pretty far. That's pretty far. By that point.
Yeah, especially if it's only 1700 right now.
Yeah. Yes. No. So it's a really, it's one of the coolest UFO incidents for sure.
It really, really is. It's got so much like cool, like questionable stuff where you're like.
Yeah. Just like, and the debunking of this one is just, it seems just like.
The debunking is ridiculous. The debunking doesn't make any sense.
Okay, I get it. One guy said he did it with the Plymouth. Like, okay, like, sure. Some people said it's a lighthouse through the trees, but that lighthouse is always there. These military guys are not like, hey, it's a different light today. You know, like.
This is, you would have seen that every night.
Every night, yeah. It's not like, just turn it on. Just, oh, we pointed it the wrong way just tonight.
Well, it circles around, right? It circles, so then it'd be like, there it is again. It's gone. Yeah. It's back. It's gone. It's back. It's gone.
That's called blinking, guys.
Yeah.
No, it's gone. No more. You can't. Definitely the trying to debunk it stuff, saying it's a lighthouse or something like that. It's just, no, why?
If they were seeing the lighthouse, you would have heard that in the tape when they went the on the 28th or whenever they went, you would have heard them be like, there's a light. Oh, it's gone. No, it's back. Yeah. Oh, it's gone. And then eventually someone would have been like, I think that might be the fucking lighthouse that's over there.
Yeah. And they're saying that these lights, like there are reports that it started out as one light. It came down, it split into to up to five different lights and then come back together and then shoot off. It's like you would not mistake a lighthouse light for doing that. That's not something. It's not something that happens ever. Like it's not. You can't explain it away with ball lightning or some sort of like freak weather effect or lights bouncing off of clouds or anything like that. That's just something that doesn't happen naturally or a trick of the atmosphere or something. That's something that these things had. So there's something controlling these things and they were moving around, guided by some sort of intelligence. And you just can't explain that away with lighthouses or 79 Plymouths.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I just parked it, turned the lights on.
Yeah. Gotcha, guys. Gotcha.
Impossible.
Yeah. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, and these Charles Holt recordings, you can go read the whole transcript of it.
Yeah, I listened to the whole tape. Like those guys are sound spooked.
They do sound spooked.
There's a good like you can act spooked and like some people you'll go like, oh, but like you can hear when people are like genuinely like this is fucking weird. And that's what those guys sound like.
Well, unless you're a professional actor, which these guys aren't, it's really hard to like mimic emotion like that. Like if you're trying to do it as a hoax. So yeah, I don't know. Some fucked up happened that night, and still to this day, people are talking about it. So I wonder when we get next great UFO incident.
I think in this day and age, it's they're too easy to cover up and too quick to be labeled as hoaxes.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it would have to be.
Yeah, but if you see one like, so imagine one like this. So in Kelowna here, you're up visiting for the summer or something. We're out camping and all of a sudden, fucking UFO. And we're not the only ones. There's like maybe two or three dozen people out in the woods and they all see it and they all corroborate. The stories are the same. Like one of those type of stories. That's what I want to hear.
Okay. Here's what I was, some just popped into my head. So Dan, you were talking about like, maybe it was an unmanned craft.
Right.
Cause I was thinking if this was humans from the past, like I fucking love time travel.
Yeah.
Like going backwards in time, going into the past violates the law of causality, cause and effect kind of thing. Like if you change one thing, whatever. Right. But would that be the same if you sent inanimate objects like that back?
Yeah, it would still cause.
You think so?
Well, it kind of depends on how we don't know enough of how like time works, and you don't whether it's the it's a straight time, and yeah, there is a law of causality. So if you send something back and it affects the past, then it changes the future. Or it immediately affects the future, so everything just like shifts around and changes. But is it like Back to the Future? Is it like Back to the Future thing where it's like, okay, your mom and dad never, you go back in time and you end up, your mom and dad don't meet, so you immediately disappear and everything changes? Or is it just it's time and then it makes a separate timeline and then you just live in that timeline and you're not able to access over?
I think as time, like it's like the theory, like time's like a river, and like even if you threw something back in there, it's going to be too small and insignificant to make major changes to the flow of the river.
Right.
I think the laws of like cause and effect, I don't think they're, you know, like, oh, if I went back and, you know, walked up and slapped Dan, you know, that's going to, and Dan was like, whoa, there was two, Brayden shouldn't be here, and he looked older. Wow, that was weird. I don't think that's going to cause a string of events. You know what I mean? Like,
so, but yeah, that's like the thing where it's like, okay, so you go back in time and you kill Hitler. There will, or like, if you go back with the plan to kill Hitler, then time, like the timeline would actively interfere with you to keep you from killing Hitler. Or would you, if you killed Hitler, then somebody else would just take his spot and events would still unfold.
Now we're getting into, is time predetermined or is there free will?
Case.
Yeah.
Right.
Upcoming.
If it's predetermined, you couldn't go back. Hitler can't be killed. If it's predetermined, you can go back. He cannot be killed. He's invincible.
I forget what it's called. There's a term for it. Something that's like, yeah, it cannot be changed. It's something like, no matter how hard you tried to go back and change it, like either if the timeline wanted to stay the way that it is, then it would actively interfere with you or put things in your way to keep you from killing Hitler. Like you would go to kill Hitler and you'd get hit by a bus or something. And it's just like something would happen to you.
But, and now imagine, that makes me think that, because if we came with the technology to travel in the past, right, the first thing we would fucking do is, you know, you'd do some test things to go do some tests to see if it was the past, right? You'd go in there and you'd get soil samples and doing weird stuff like that. And then maybe you would try to change some things. And then once you figured out, they're like, oh, we can't. Everything's predetermined. What the laws of the fourth dimension time won't let us change anything. Everything's meant to happen. So we've already done this. It's going the way it is. Why would you go back anymore?
Right? We sunk all these billions of dollars in a time travel. It's worthless.
And it's a bust. We're like, ah, fuck it. All right. God, we're not going back anymore. We don't have to go back. Why is it stupid?
But then it
doesn't make sense either, because then you'd be like, okay, well, let's jump to the future, get some more technology and jump back to the past and, you know, elevate our society by 1,000 years. You wouldn't be able to do that, because once you go forward and you go back, you couldn't change it. You would be the natural progression of everything still.
I think by the time you get to the point where you can...
By the time
you get to the point where you can go through time, you don't need to go forward in time to get better technology. You've reached the pinnacle, I think.
I guess so, yeah.
If you can control forward, backward, like all avenue of time, you've mastered the universe, I think.
I'm He-Man.
Anyways, Skeletor. Anyway, boys, you want to start wrapping this one up?
You're probably a level 5 on the, what was it, type 5 on the civilization on the Kardashev scale?
Kardashev scale.
Kardashev? Yeah. I think is that a type 5 where you pretty much can... Well, you manipulate everything around
type
you.
Type one was you can harness the whole energy of your planet. Type two was the whole energy of your solar system.
Yeah.
Type three was galaxy.
Yeah. And then the other ones were just theoretical ones.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Anyways. I can't even remember what they were. I think one was the manipulation of time.
Look up the Kardashev scale if you've never heard of it. It's fucking cool.
Yeah.
We're sitting at like a 0.75 or something right now.
Yeah, almost. Four is control the entire universe, and five is collections of universes. Huh. Type zero is, pretty much you suck. Sucks to suck, type zero.
Yeah, you're caveman.
Yeah.
You've harnessed fire. Big deal.
All right. I'm going to do Zell's prolapser of the week. I'm giving it to this girl because if she falls through, we'll all know. Ginger Jameson claims that she has an in with Elon Musk, and she might be able to set up a quick interview. She's talking. She's talking to her. She works at SpaceX, so she's talking. I guess she sees him all the time. So you never know, man.
What?
He's a quirky guy. Maybe just pops on for 5-10 minutes. Says what's up.
I'm gonna pitch him all my wacky ideas.
he'll probably take them.
You got them written down on index cards.
Yeah.
solid state batteries.
Yeah. Done. I don't know if you heard this.
I invent
liquid state batteries.
Actually, guys, I invented that. That's pretty much what I'll say to everything.
So that's a maybe. Okay. We'll put that in the maybe pile.
Yeah. Anyways.
Ginger Jameson, you hooked that up, and you're forever in the history books of ATT, because that'd be amazing.
But if you don't hook it up,
you'll be
you're on our shit list
publicly
forever.
Ridiculed for life.
No, probably not.
No, probably not. Definitely not at all. Brady, you want to read some reviews?
Yeah. Give me one second. Do you have the big reviews up?
Yeah, I got it.
I just have the iTunes ones. So if you read one, I'll read an iTunes one right after. Just loading it up.
Okay, here. I'll send you the link here. There you go. Okay, well, I'll read the first one. I'm going to go down. I'm going to go down to Drinking Buddies by Frank and Fluffer, US from USA. It's just a couple of nerds who kind of talk about aliens and occasionally break it out into song. I drink with them.
Nerds!
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 That's pretty much nailed it right there.
Hold on. I just got to sign in. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Nerds. I don't know.
Read another one.
I'll read one more. Here we go. What's this one? Very fun. From Nanajdu. I don't know. USA. These guys are awesome. I discovered them a few weeks ago, and now I know nothing about current events. All I listen to on my daily commute is ATT. Some of their topics are very out there, but all very entertaining. Oh, well, thank you. You got it up, Brayden?
Yep.
Hit it.
Probably the best podcast.
Probably.
By BMX Kid 358 from USA. Found this podcast a couple weeks ago, and I've been going through listening to them as I drive to work. This podcast is awesome. Super funny, while also laying down all the good info. Keep it up, Scott. Sweet. Thanks, Scott.
Sweet, Scott.
Oh, this one's... I like this one. I just like this one's title. Best podcast easily. I have nothing but nice things to say.
Yeah.
These guys are super likable and relatable. I feel as though they look at things seriously, but with enough added humor... to be a perfect blend. I binge all y'all's episodes over like 2 weeks and can't wait for every new episode. I'd love to tell y'all all my family's experiences, because for some reason we seem to have something following us.
Oh shit, goddamn poltergeist.
So Randall, send us an email and let's talk about whatever's following you, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah, one of those family poltergeists that happens. Those pop around every now and then.
Yeah, send us an email, please, to alientheorists@gmail.com. No, I think the best like slang term from the States is y'all all. Love to y'all. Tell y'all all.
Love to tell y'all, all of my family.
All y'all.
That's a great slang term right there. Y'all all.
All about y'all. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Sweet.
I do like y'all.
You want to do one more, Braden? We haven't done a lot lately, so we're kind of getting behind. So do one more. You can even scroll down farther. There's a whole bunch we haven't read.
Oh, there's some bad ones. Oh no.
Yeah, we got a 3-star. We got a 3-star. It's an honest review. Like, that's all good.
Yeah, that's fine.
We got a 2-star.
That's good. Oh. Yeah. Yes. I'm reading that from UK there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Whatever.
We're not for everybody.
That's what reviews
number
are for.
Number one conspiracy podcast faux show from Drake, the USA. Found this pod last week. I've been listening to it nonstop and have almost listened to every episode. It's like if you were watching Ancient Aliens, but the commentators were your friends. Genuinely amazing and gives some great laughs. Also makes me want to follow along with the podcast and look up the topics at hand. One of the only podcasts that I actually want to donate to their Patreon. 5 out of 5.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, Drake Cherry.
Jeez, that's a big compliment there.
Great reviews. Keep sending them.
Yeah.
We're climbing the ladder in iTunes.
Getting there. We're clawing our way to the top.
Clawing our way up. We're almost going to break the top 300 here.
Oh, yeah.
We can do it. We need.
By episode 100.
We need we'll 5,000 more subscriptions and we can do it.
Do it.
So wait, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't pushed subscribe on whatever player you're using, just do that really quick. That's the easiest way to help us out.
Yep, takes no time. Just like
it's a quick little subscribe. A lot of people just search for podcasts every time. I've noticed, not a lot of people, but some people do that. So if you're just searching every time, just push subscribe. It'll download automatically to your phone. All right, I'm gonna give a quick shout out to our newest Patreons. So we have too many to read every case file now, so I'm only gonna do that every once in a while. I'm just gonna read the new ones. Our newest and last member of the top tier Patreon supporters, our certified alien theorist, Alex. Welcome to the team. We're going to be getting all of our top Patreon supporters back on a podcast here pretty quick. We got 3 pledged by Red, Kelly Hendricks, Holly Mellon, Dulcie Schultz, Caleb. Ray Dizzle went up from, oh no, Ray Dizzle went down, but he's still supporting. We still love him. Kelsey Din, Zach Dissinger, he went up 10 to 25. Liam, Christopher Walker, Mano Tarapo, Tyler Gilman, Kyle Jones, Mel Sabel. Oh, no, she deleted. Either way. And Joel Dunham. Those are all the newest works on there. Oh, we also got May with 2 Ys. I'm 777 and Pickle Rick. Thank you very much for supporting the pod. And you know what we're going to do, actually, as a little teaser for everyone? We're going to put at the end of this episode a little snippet of our Dungeons & Dragons we played. And if you'd like to hear if you'd like to hear the rest, go donate to our Patreon. We'd appreciate it forever. And yeah, we're putting out a bunch more content coming out real soon. All right, that's it for me. I can't talk anymore. Whew.
Yeah, exhausted. Whew. Don't forget AlienCon. We're going as fans, so if you want to come hang out with us at AlienCon in Pasadena, June 14th, 15th, 16th.
Yeah, we'll
Pasadena, be Pasadena, California.
We'll be at the con the 14th and 15th. We're leaving on the Sunday, so we won't be there for that day, but
I think I'm going to wear all Budweiser one day. I'm gonna bring out the sweats. It's more like a crop top sweater though, and I've got a new Budweiser hat. It's funny because I never really drink Budweiser. I just have a lot of the clothes. I'm just a big fan of the clothes.
It's easy to get their clothes. You buy a case, you get a hat, like every time.
Oh, dude, we've got some good. Really attacking 1-star reviews.
Okay, yeah.
We'll read those after.
For Patreon, we're going to read our our funny but terrible reviews for everyone.
Anyways, some good ones. As always, keep those eyes on the skies. Thanks, guys.
Peace.
Southeast Asian alien correspondent Dan, welcome to the podcast, Dan.
Dungeon Master Dan,
welcome to D&D.
So today, Dan will be playing Dungeon Master Dan, hailing from parts unknown. The High Elf Wizard is going to be played by Zell.
Hello, my name is Zellarius.
Zellarius.
And a cleric, our mole. Cleric Androcles the Lebanese is going to be played by your medical correspondent Andrew.
I'm just happy to be here, man. That's crazy. I'm excited that you guys invite me to play this game.
And the half-orc ranger Fjord will be played by myself, Brayden. So welcome to the podcast. This is the first time we're going to try D&D on the podcast. Do a live one. See how it goes.
See what happens.
Rules are we're going to talk on a normal voice when we're not playing any games, but as soon as we start playing games and doing game movements, we're going to try to talk in our character voices.
Every character action we're going to try and do in our
So I just got too ahead of myself there.
Yeah.
I thought we were doing this whole thing in our voices.
Mm. We could.
What's your voice like?
Kind of like this.
Because you're an orc. You're half orc.
Half orc.
You have intelligence of 8.
A little slow.
Slightly.
It's not that bad. That's okay. That's all I got. Did you make up for it with your looks?
Don't make fun of me.
No, this done should look good, man.
So how about you guys give us a little bit of background on your motley crew of your three players here. How do they all work together?
Well,
let's start with our erudite, probably our smartest of the group, Mr. Zellarius.
Zellarius, that is me. Hailing from parts unknown. My father, a corrupt high elven lord. Upon my 332nd birthday, I found out he was corrupt. I went out into the sunset to search for my own way, my own religion. And that is when I met Androcles, the Lebanese.
That was so good.
Yeah, it was
that was
good.
So good.
That was really good. So we come to Androcles, Lebanese, Mull, which is a half-dwarf, half-human, for those of you who don't know. And we have his little backstory, kind of the glue that holds our group together.
It's a lot of fucking pressure, man.
Now you got to do it in that voice.
Okay, so basically, have you guys seen Gladiator? Because it's like the same thing, right? I basically, got sold to slavery, became a gladiator. I rose my way all the way to the top. I killed all the bad guys. Get them all with my big hammer, and then after I was done, they were like, "Hey man, do you want to be free?" I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'll be free." So then I become free, and I, fell in love with Bekab, and now I am.
Hi, Bekab.
Yeah, all hail Bekab, dilly dilly.
Bekab.
And then now, next thing you know, I was out preaching and having a good time, and I run into Zellarius. I said, "Hey man, do you want to come with me?" He said, "Yeah, okay, that's cool."
I said it more like, okay, that's cool.
Yes, same thing, man.
Okay.
It's good. It's good. And lastly, we come to our half-orc ranger, Fjord.
I had a human mother.
Right?
And...
whole game, right? Whole game, you're gonna talk like that.
Fucking crying.
No, don't look at me.
Okay.
Would you fucking look at me?
I have a human mother. My My father was orc. And...
All right, guys, that's all you get. If you want to hear more adventures of Zalarius, Fjord, and Androcles, please go to our Patreon. Donate $5 a month or more to your favorite comedy conspiracy podcast. And make it happen. Cheers, everybody. Team ATT, we're out.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.